Ladies, 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 Anne and Trace are in the hills. Well, that's not entirely true. It's just yours truly, T-Bone Capone. The T-Bird flying high, but going solo. Forget about Anne. Don't even worry about him. He's not committed to this podcast. He doesn't care about it. But I will say we have been in the wars with this review this month for February. We've been in the trenches. We've been taking bullets. We've been down in the mud. We can't handle it. You know, I've had a lot going on, been moving house, quit a few jobs, got employed in a few jobs, not doing too bad. Arne, well, he's a family man, looking after his child like a good father should, studying full time and working full time. What a god. What a god. But he's not too much of a god, is he? Because he's not here helping his brother out doing this podcast. So you might be asking yourself, what are these guys, what did they do this month? What movie did they go and watch? What are they talking about? What's the yammer? What's the yammer for this month? Well, the year's 1917, and of course the movie is also 1917. And we start off with our two young bucks. George McKay playing Lance Corporal Schofield, and of course Dane Charles Chapman as Lance Corporal Blake. In the French fields. Wow. What can I say about this film? Not impressed at all. It did get outstanding reviews, I understand. But probably not for the right reasons. Probably for the wrong reasons. And we'll go into them shortly. Now, me and Arne did do a first initial podcast of this 1917 early in February. But my God. Of course, I didn't hit the record button on his mic, and it was just my voice blabbering over the top of his shallow, hollow, empty soul of a presentation. So you can blame, I only have myself to blame for why I'm doing this solo this month. And I also had to see this piece of shit movie twice down at United Cinemas Craigieburn. Shout out to United Cinemas, our unofficial sponsor for this month's podcast. And not the best venue, but they do have that Dolby Atmos, which, oh, god damn, I love that Dolby Atmos. That three-dimensional sound sweeping in, especially with this film with the big explosions, really helped improve what was, in my case, a dreadful view. Now, we have our two, Lance Corporal Schofield and Blake, and they're on a mission. They're on a mission to send a message to a battalion out on the front that are about to attack what they believe is a retreating German force. But we know better than that. They're not retreating. It's a trap. Of course it is. They're Nazis. They're like wily, racist people. Of course they're going to feed you into a trap. So our two messages are on a journey. And what's sort of backing this and making this intense and intense experience is that Blake's brother is in one of the battalions that are about to charge the line of the Germans. So that adds a little bit of intensity. You know, are they going to get the message in time to save their brother? We'll find out. We'll go on the journey. And what a journey it is. Because I think the main thing that drives this film is, of course, the presentation, the technicality behind which they've shot this film, which is a continuous film, very little cuts, and the cuts that they do make are quite seamless. So it kind of takes you on a journey of these two characters battling through the front lines and the trenches into no man's land with these maybe not panoramic views, but definitely certainly a idea that we're on a journey with these two young characters and we're following them through the trenches. And the work is amazing. And that seems to be why this film has been given such great reviews, because of the technicality in which the director, Scott Mendez, has performed the footage, which is great. I mean, of course it's good. You know, it's nice to see something different within cinematography, and it's great seeing artists push the boundaries of what they can do with all these new technologies. However, is that why you go to a film, to be impressed by technicalities and great boom work? Personally, I could care less. I'm going there for the characters, for the drama, for the story. You know, what's driving this whole thing? Is it going to be the guy behind the camera? I mean, for this film, that seems to be the only driving force, is the camera work. Because the two characters, Lance Corporal Schofield and Blake, I care very little for them. And spoilers, within the first 40 minutes, Blake gets stabbed trying to save a Nazi, like, honest to God. And I didn't even care that he died. He was a naive young man. And what do you know about him at that point? Basically, he knew a lot about cherry trees. Oh, fantastic. I care so little about you that I was glad that you got stabbed and died early. Now Schofield can go on and deliver the message that you could not do because you could wanted to save a Nazi. Yeah, good on you. Good on you, Blake. Yeah, the character development was poor. Blake is just this young kid from, I guess, a rural area of England somewhere. And Schofield seems to develop a bit more intense in terms of who he is in that, you know, you can see that he's got a bit of grit behind him. Some sort of memories he's always seemed to be looking at. He's got this carry-all that he pulls out once and has a look. We don't get to see what's inside, but he has a look of fond memories when he peers upon this object. And you're thinking, oh, you know, what's in here? What's going on? But for the most part, it's just a journey. It's a journey through the hells of World War One. But is it a journey to the ideas of what war is? I don't think so. It seems to fail on that in multiple occasions. One scene that I really did enjoy, Andrew Scott as Lieutenant Leslie, just before the Blake and Schofield about to go over into no man's land. This Lieutenant Leslie, I think, portrays the realities of war and how it can break your spirits and break your humanity. He gives the two young characters a flare gun and, you know, nonchalantly says, you know, if you happen to get hit, could you throw the gun back? He cared more about the gun than he did about these two young fellas going into no man's land, which I thought was a good take on what war can do to a human being, can jade them into the realities of humanity and the darkness that can happen when groups of people try to take over the world, I guess, on some level. And yeah, that's where it really falls short for me, is that there's very little character development, and their reasonings are quite two-dimensional as to what they're doing. They're basically being told an order and they're going to follow it and get it done, I guess, really to save Blake's brother. And that's the only reason he seemed to be chosen for this particular role. And I think Scott Mendez, I read somewhere, his initial reasoning as to why he wanted to make this film was he wanted a film about a messenger delivering his message, which, I mean, is pretty basic for why you want to get a film or produce a film. And I think he does it well. I mean, maybe another film that did it better, probably Gallipoli. For sure. And Australian. Like, go Aussies. yeah, so, and I think there's way more, a lot more intensive war films than this one in terms of portraying the harsh realities and darkness that war can inflict upon people. And this one falls a lot short in terms of that. When we did have this conversation, Arne was constantly banging on about the way that the camera moved through the trenches, as if you were part of that sea of humanity in this tight space. Which, yeah, I give him credit for the way that the camera moved, for sure. But if you're not a tech head, if you're not someone who enjoys film and the production of film, you're not going to enjoy it. It's like listening to car guys talk about their cars, you know, what turbocharger they have on it, what wings they put on it, how they balance the camber and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I could care less. You make this film boring by talking about these technicalities. I want to feel something. I go to the movies to indulge in my emotionality, you know, my humanity, the existence of the human life. I don't care about... I mean, if I want to watch how technical this film is, I'll watch the making of, the behind the scenes. And I have seen a few of those videos on YouTube, and it is amazing. And it's great to see that from the from the perspective of another film, a documentary of the making of that film. Because other than that, if you're not looking about, see, the boom operators and the dolly operators and all the people that make this one shot, then you can't fully appreciate it. All you've got is that screen in front of you following the characters. And, you know, if I wanted to go on a good adventure, I'd go watch The Hobbit. Yeah. Some other strong points was, of course, Mark Strong, the second, as Captain Smith, always providing a dominant father figure, which he does as he helps Schofield make the trip to the next town. Just a domineering voice, just a dark, manly, husky voice. Come with me, Schofield. We've got trucks. Yeah, solid. And, of course, Benedict Cumberbatch as the ever-present, ever-mobile Colonel McKenzie. And you can't go wrong with Benedict. Always got a great screen presence, always providing good roles. And that's what this film also seems to do, is have these high-profile actors in important parts throughout the film as sort of this staging mark to the next journey, to the next, you know, a slowdown period in which Schofield or Blake can catch their breath and think about the next part of their epic, if you could call it that, journey. To me, it seemed a bit too cliche, all these moments of drama. You could almost predict that something had to happen. Of course the plane went down. Of course there was someone in the way, a sniper in the way that held Schofield up. You know, it just had to happen that way, which is sort of sad because it took a bit of the, I felt, intensity of what war should be. I understand that there's low points marked by these intense engagement, but it was almost cliche. It was almost a build-up. And talking about build-ups, the score, the music is not bad to me. I don't know, maybe it's because of my pop sensibilities. I prefer modern music, but the score was quite well. It erupted in places where it needed to be to heighten the intensity of the moment. A good use of strings, cymbals, of course. And I think that this did get another award for the music production, which it was all right. But again, my pop sensibilities, my millennial genes kicked in, and I want to hear modern music, I think, to maybe engage me, especially with that Atmos sound. God damn, that would engage me if I heard some big subwoofers to my left and to my right. What more can I talk about this film? I hated it purely on the fact that the characters were lacking any, just any emotionality. I didn't care about them, if they lived or if they died, but maybe that was why, Mendes decided to do that, is to show that, one person in war is just a number, is meaningless. You don't need to know them. They might be dead tomorrow. They might be dead right in front of you in the next act. So why know them? Why get emotionally attached? This is war, man. This is war. When I was talking to Arne in our first stuff up, my cock up, he did make a great point, which I'd never picked up on, and how Blake initially, and you knew it was a moment, this was an important moment where Blake was talking about the cherry trees. The Nazis had cut them down. They were still in flower, and Blake is going on about these cherry trees, how he's lived up in a farm and he knows the different varieties. And you're like, this is a moment right here. You just knew it. You knew it was a moment. And throughout this film, trees played an important role. This is all Arne, the genius of that man. The importance of the tree within this whole film was like a bridge between the two, between Schofield and Blake, always helping Schofield reach his destination. Before Schofield meets Captain Smith, we find that there's a tree holding up their logistics line, and all the crew had to get up and help him and pull this tree over. Then further on, once he gets to some French town, I can't even remember the name of the French town, he gets swept down this river, and along the river, of course, there's a tree that's blocking its strong surge and all these dead bodies which Schofield has to climb up upon. And this tree takes him to the the saving banks to which he can catch his breath and move further. And directly after that scene, there's a huge battalion within the tree line. It's such an odd... I hated this. Arn, again, loved it. He was thriving on it. But there's this odd moment where this Scottish battalion, they're all sitting down and there's this one guy standing and he's singing this sweet, almost Catholic schoolboy voice. This angelic voice is just singing and everyone's silent and they're in the tree line and they're ready for battle. And so these trees act as bridges between the two characters, the now KIA'd Lance Corporal Blake and the ever-present Lance Corporal Schofield, which I didn't notice. And when Arn brought it up, I was amazed, and it made so much sense. And the movie also finishes as it starts. The two young men sitting down, well, not the two at the end, obviously, it's just Schofield, but sitting down against a tree, regaining some strength, just sitting there and obviously in deep thought. And it yeah, ends very emotionally. Scott Mendes has at the end a sort of in memorandum of his own grandfather, which to me really brought something to the end of the film, because it no longer lacked any, it didn't lack depth. It had some depth at the end because it was a personal journey, obviously, for Mendes to have some homage to his late grandfather, I'm assuming, which I did enjoy. So to sum this up, you know, Arn really, when we did talk, he loved it. He gave it, I think, 8 or 9 out of 10 stars, which to me is generous, but he was purely saying on the fact of the technicality of this film, and yeah, good on him. He is a guy who does love the way things are shot, edited, cut, etc. But for me, man, 5 at best out of 10, just for pure character development alone. It was lacking, it was weak. Did I care if they died? Of course I didn't care if they die. Naivety got him killed. So yeah, just for me, 5 out of 10, Arn, 8 or 9, really thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'll be leaving this episode 2 of The Other Movie Guys, thank you for listening, with a song of my own. Actually, I made this in 2012 called Light Strangulation, and I only thought of it because there's one scene right, probably midway through, where Schofield gains the upper hand through stealth on a German, but doesn't kill him. No, just like, oh, be quiet, Nazi, you'll be quiet, you're a good guy, aren't you? You know, you're a Nazi, you got to be a good guy. And of course, no, he tries to notify his friend, and of course Schofield has to strangle him. And I thought, oh, you know, get a bit of my own ego out there. I'll put a song at the end called Light Strangulation. I think it works well. And as always, buy a ticket, get out the cinema, enjoy yourself, critique, talk with your friends, bit of bullshit, why not? Have fun.